We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our guest for today is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
You're quite welcome. Always enjoy being here.
Well, we appreciate you. You always bring good stuff to this table. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get those posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Father, I just want to say thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity just to be able to come and to share, share your word, and the opportunity to hear of the needs that people have and to hear the praises that people have as they share those this morning. And Lord, we're thankful that you're not a God who is distant and who doesn't hear our needs and our concerns, but you are a God who is concerned about everything in our life because you're the one who created us. You're concerned about those things that hurt. You're concerned about those conflicts. And Lord, you want to hear our praises. You want to hear the thing. We want to celebrate the things that you have done for us. And so may we be able to do that this morning. And may we be able just to give you the praise and the glory through this hour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title, Prayer. Keep it simple.
Yeah, well, you know, prayer, keep it simple. I'm not a very complicated person, to be honest with you. I'm a person who kind of looks at things from a simple point of view and try not to make things too difficult. And sometimes when it comes to prayer, we try to make it more difficult than it really is. We try to put together formulas. Nothing wrong with a formula of praying per se, but we say, well, if you pray this in this formula, God's going to answer prayer. Well, not necessarily. It really comes from the heart. And so we need to make sure that we're more concerned about sharing with God than we are about with how we share with God, so to speak. Kind of like the story about a little boy who was asked to pray the Thanksgiving prayer for his family one year, and he prayed these words. He said, "Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and Christmas and for the holidays. Thank you for the turkey and dressing and Mom and Dad and even for my little sister, though sometimes she can be a pain. Thank you for books and TV and Game Boy. Thank you for loving us. And oh yeah, and take care of yourself, God, because without you, we're sunk." Amen. The little boy really didn't know how to pray an exquisite prayer, but he knew one thing. He knew that without God, we're all sunk. He knew that God had to be in the center of things. And sometimes when we come to the Lord in prayer, we get three letters of the English alphabet mixed up, and we think of things in a different way. Those three letters, by the way, are O, H, and W. And the way we get it mixed up is that we sometimes think that we need to make a big deal of how, H-O-W, how we pray. We become concerned with big flowery words. We're concerned about God is wanting to hear our how good we are with the English language or whatever language is our native tongue. We want to be known for those long moving prayers. And it really, even though it may be unintentional, it really becomes about the show rather than the one to who we're talking to. And it becomes about the show rather than the one we know. And so we need to be careful about that. And the reality is not about how, H-O-W, those three letters again, not how we pray, but who we pray to, W-H-O. And if we sincerely pray to our Father, then how we pray is not so important. It might be a prayer with eloquence, and it could be with stammering lips. That's not a concern before God. But what is important is that we pray with the sincerity of heart, and that we're pouring out our heart before God. Sometimes in request, sometimes we're pouring out our heart in praise. But we need to make sure that we're praying with the sincerity of heart. And God's word reminds us that prayer should originate from the heart and not for an outside appearance show. And so we're going to look at Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And we're going to talk about that. And if we have time, we may move on a little bit beyond those verses. But we're going to look here at those verses this morning. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so what Jesus is saying here for us, I think, is when it comes to prayer, we really need to keep it simple. And so how do we get caught up, or how do we keep it simple? Well, first of all, we have to refuse to get caught up in the show, and verses 5 and 6 point that out to us. Jesus reminds us to pray to the one we know rather than show. The one we know is God. And God's not impressed by showmanship. God never has been impressed by showmanship. Nothing wrong if you have the language to pray, you know, flowery words or whatever. But prayer's not about getting the praise of other people. And that's what most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day were seeking. They wanted to be known as they stood out on the street corners and they offered the praise and their prayer to Jesus or to God. So they were doing it for the show. And Jesus quite simply says, you know what? They received their reward. People come along, pat them on the back. Man, that was a great prayer. Oh, I wish I could pray like you, you know, that kind of thing going on in their life. And, don't get me wrong, this is just a personal pet peeve of mine, and I still find myself doing it. But, sometimes it's like people can't pray without saying God, Father, Jesus, or Lord about every third word. They say it before, they say it in the middle of the sentence, they say it after the sentence. And to me, it's like they're saying, God doesn't know his name. But that's a personal pet peeve of mine. Don't take it. If you're one of those, don't take offense. That's just a personal pet peeve of mine. That's the way they were taught. That's the way they learned to pray. So, but in my mind, it takes away the subject of prayer. And so understand that's my way of thinking. And God doesn't need to be reminded of who he is. And if we're praying in public, I don't think we need to necessarily remind people who we're praying for. Yes, we need to know who we're praying for, and we need to mention that. But we don't have to remind people every once in a while. Because God is going to do what he says he's going to do. People have a problem with praying these long prayers, and sometimes that just continues to be on and on. Dwight L. Moody, who is a great evangelist years gone by, he had a very practical mind when it came to never letting a meeting get out of hand, and long public prayer just irritated him greatly. And so once he told his song leader, Ira Sankey, as a guy was praying and the prayer just continued to drag on and drag on and drag on, he told his song leader, he says, "Lead us into him while our brother is finishing the prayer." It was like, this is his way of saying, okay, there's enough. I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message. And in verse 5, he says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayer, hoping for 15 minutes of fame, do you think God sits in a box seat?" And I'm like, that's pretty powerful. No, God doesn't sit in a box. He's got the seat wherever. And so we have to move beyond the show to praying sincerely to the one we know. And so we just need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that. Because sometimes we're more concerned about what people think about us than we are about what people are thinking about God and how he's going to meet the needs that we are praying for. And so that's the whole point that I think Jesus is making here. It's the point that I want to make, is let's make sure that everything we do is pointing to God and what he's doing and what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus goes on and he makes the point that we should be praying the majority of our prayers in private. He tells us that when we pray, we're going to go into our room and we are to close the door and to pray. The King James Version says, go into your closet and close the door and pray. And some people take that literally. A friend of mine told me one time, he said that if you went to grandma's house and you saw her feet sticking out the closet door, I'm assuming that the closet was so small she couldn't close the door. If you saw her feet sticking out the closet door, you better leave her alone because she was praying. And that was her prayer time. She wasn't going to make a show. She was going to go and she was going to spend time with the Lord. But what Jesus' point here is that when you're really in earnest prayer, you need to find a place where your prayers will not be interrupted, where you can just spend that one-on-one time with God. I'm a great believer in praying anywhere at any time, going down the road and having prayer time with God. That's great. But let's be honest, your attention is divided, or at least it better be. you better have your eyes on the road. Don't pray with your eyes closed. But we need to take that specific time and pray with God. And praying in private, I think, helps us to focus on God and who he is. Again, Eugene Peterson makes a very valid point. He says, Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. And when you're alone, you can't role play for anybody else. It's you and God. And I think the point that Jesus is trying to make to us is that private prayer changes the focus from what you can't do to what God can do. Private prayer is not, God, how can I figure this out? And a lot of times we come to God in prayer with that attitude. God, I need to figure that. How can I figure this out? What can I do? And we need to move beyond that mindset. It's more like, God, I'm giving this to you. It's your problem now. And I can tell you what a big relief that is whenever you learn that mindset. You give it to God and it's his problem. Now, we need to, there's a line we walk here. I understand that. We sometimes need to have persistent prayer. I mean, later on in Matthew, Jesus points out, you know, we keep coming before the Lord in prayer. But at the same time, when we come before him in prayer, we're just reaffirming the fact that it's no longer our problem, it's God's problem. And then sometimes, at least for me, sometimes I've taken a problem before God and I've prayed it, and God says, okay, well, I've got it taken care of, and then it doesn't get taken care of, you know, in the time frame that I think it is, and I come before God again and I say, God, I have this problem, and then I hear him say, I told you it's taken care of. It's my problem, not yours. Yeah. You know. And so we have to be discerning, we have to be listening, but the idea is that when we take it to God, it's his problem. And so what happens when we focus on what we can't do and take it to God and let him do what he can do is that it moves us from despair to letting God repair the situation we find ourselves in. Moves us from despair to letting God repair that situation. And so make sure that you're focusing on what God can do in your private prayer. And then I think private prayer also reminds us of God's promise in Philippians verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, if you're anxious, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What's the result of presenting your request to God? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So maybe here's a little bit of a clue as to how we pray and what we pray. Pray until you have peace. When you have peace, even though it may not be resolved, you know God's working. And again, it comes back, if it comes up to your mind, devil's going to try to steal that peace from you. He just says, God's already told me. I'm not going to have peace about it. And when you have peace, you can rejoice that God's in control of the situation. You don't have to sit there and worry about it. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this? God's saying, I've got it. Leave it in my hands and just wait. Wait for me to answer. Because when we try to answer in our way and in our time, it usually winds up being a mess. But God's way and his time is always the right way in the right time. So make sure that when you're keeping it simple that you're praying most of your prayers in private. There is a place for public prayer. But most of our communication as individuals should be in a one-to-one relationship with God in a private place. I get up in the morning and I spend time in God's Word. I spend time in prayer. That's because it's private for me. Nobody else in my house is up at that point in time. But whatever works for you, that's what you need to seek. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say to us here. And then also we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the language of prayer, which is what I was kind of referring to earlier. Verse 70 says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Mm-hmm. And you ever hear somebody that just keeps droning on and on and on? I'm not just talking about prayer. I mean, they're on a subject, and they just keep going on and on and on and on and on and on, and you wonder, are they ever going to shut up? I wonder sometimes if God wonders that when we, and I'm not talking about the earnest, heartfelt prayers. I'm just talking about when we're praying, you know. And we need to understand that verbal gymnastics do not impress God.
Oh, that's good.
Our daughter Christy was in gymnastics and when she was in elementary school, and she was pretty good at it. She won quite a few ribbons and trophies, and I think we still have a few of those floating around the house somewhere in a bag. But, I mean, she could turn and twist and do stuff that I never could when I was her age. And if I tried to do it, I'd wind up face down on the floor or flat on my back, one of the two, you know. But sometimes we try to do that same thing with our prayers. We dress them up in language that thinking that God's going to be impressed with and move on our behalf because of our great language of prayer. And relating that back to gymnastics, it's kind of like we think that if we go running down the prayer track and land the perfect prayer vault, God's going to go, oh, wow, did you see that? I think I'll answer that prayer. No, that's not how God works. Or perhaps we believe that if we perform a faultless floor prayer exercise, we'll hear God go, bravo, bravo, bravo. I think I'll answer 5 prayers for that. You know, that when we get into the verbal gymnastics, God's just not into those type of things. And I think sometimes God laughs at our prayers, not the requests that we have, not the needs that he has, but because God wants us to bring our prayers to him. But I think he laughs at the way we pray because we think that if we impress God with our words, he's going to act. We don't impress God with our words. We impress God with our words and with our heart and with our faith. And so that's an important thing to remember. And I think that what Jesus is trying to bring across here. We might say that God's more concerned about about our needs and the way that we present our needs. It's not the prayer itself. It's just that we bring our need clearly to God. And sometimes we can't bring our need clearly to God. Sometimes all we can do is help. Cry out, help. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 8, he writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Then he goes on in verse 27 and says, and he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And so we have these concerns. We just bring it before God and we say, help. Because we don't know how to pray. The results is in the next verse, though. Verse 28. God works all things together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And we need to understand that, you know, hey, if all we can do is say help, God's going to, the Spirit's going to intercede, sure, what the true need is. And God's going to work it all out. That's important for us to remember. So, whether we communicate our need in words or not, we need to make sure that we're communicating with God. We need to make sure that we're communicating with God. And it doesn't matter how eloquent you are. It doesn't matter whether you can use those big words or whether you're just saying help. God says, I hear you. I hear you. We have some requests that we need to pray over.
We do.